This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. We are into the final hour on Love Sport with me, Matt Beadle. We're now into the transfer rumour mill where we have plenty to discuss. And I'm delighted that I'm joined by the man, the myth, Graham Butler.
I've never been introduced like that before. But
I was trying to think of the best way that I could introduce you.
No, that was, we were just talking about that off air. And I, you know, pretty democratic.
There we go.
So yeah, Graham's fine. The man, the myth. Yeah. Okay, I'll stick with that.
I was going to follow it up with the legend, but then
No. We're pushing that out a little bit too far.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, you are clad in a Tottenham Hotspur polo top.
Yeah, I know. I was in a rush this evening. It stays on.
Nothing wrong with that. You're in shorts as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Crikey, is it still warm out there?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very humid.
Okay. So, well, a Tottenham Hotspur shirt you are wearing.
Yes.
And of course, an ex-Tottenham man who might just be returning to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, as we now call it, Gareth Bale. What is going on here?
I was reading those comments today. It's a bit... Do you know what? Zidane, when I was growing up, was not... You know, he was my hero. He was the guy that... You know, everyone has their hero when they're younger and you kind of look at English players, but Zidane was the man for me. He literally had everything from when I first sort of saw him at Juventus, and me and my dad were sitting there and was like, who is this guy, you know? And you followed him throughout his career, and he's obviously done wonders at Real Madrid. And for him to come out with comments like he has supposedly
we've seen it all over,
and he's been caught on camera saying it, and it really, really shocks me. It's not the kind of Zidane that I could never say I knew him, but the Zidane that came across as a player was very... a pragmatic, very shy and sort of just in himself. He was very inverted in himself. The way he's coming out as a manager, it's almost like, right, I'm coming back to somewhere. They clearly need me. I'm going to start shouting my name from the rooftops. I'm going to start being a bit bold, a bit brash, and start putting my foot down a little bit now. You know, I've won trophies here. I've gone away. It fell apart a little bit. I've came back. And they need me, and clearly I'm going to make a statement and say Bale isn't in part of my plans. Now, what Bale has done since he's been over there, apart from probably not learn the language and refuse to go out for dinners with Sergio Ramos at 11 o'clock at night, apart from that, he's actually done what he set out to achieve in his career when he left Tottenham. Mm. He wanted to go and win trophies. He done that within sort of 6 months of being there and sort of running 3 miles, running outside of the pitch to go and score goals in Copa del Rey finals. He's won leagues, he's won cups. He scored in Champions League final, I believe, the overhead kick.
Yeah, and, absolutely. Scored twice.
You think what he's actually achieved at that club, I think the guy, regardless of where he goes, I think Bale deserves a lot more respect than what he's getting.
So the quotes themselves, and I wish we could put audio on, but we can't because he's speaking in Spanish, and I don't know how many of our listeners know Spanish. So I'm just going to read out what he said after the game. He said, "We hope he leaves soon." Now that, in the first instance, is quite unbelievable. He then said, "It would be best for everyone. We are working on his transfer to a new team." Now, as fans, sometimes, and journalists, you crave for brutal honesty. That's what you want. That's what sells papers. That's what gets Twitter going and so any other part of social media. And he has said, "I have nothing personal against him, but there comes a time where things are done because they must be done." He obviously later said, "If I could sell him tomorrow, I would do." And, you know, I think for Gareth Bale now, look, his options, there's a swap deal with Neymar that's been mooted. United have reportedly been interested in him way back from the David Moyes days. Obviously, Sir Alex Ferguson wanted to sign him before he went to Spurs when he was a kid at Southampton. Spurs potentially could have him back, but would he want to go back to Spurs because of the tail between his legs? I mean, one, where do you think he's going to go? And what do you think he's thinking? Being in a dressing room yourself, knowing that he hasn't got the backing of his manager, knowing that probably he hasn't got the backing of his peers. Apparently, they call him the golfer. Thibaut Courtois has referred to that, the fact that he plays golf. He's got that thing in his backyard where he plays. He seems like a bit of a family man. I would say on the language as well, and we saw with Aaron Ramsey a couple of days ago doing his press conference, first press conference for Juve. Brilliant. Didn't speak Italian fluently, but he clearly...
Well, since good though, wasn't it?
Yeah, since he got wind of that transfer, you know he was straight down to the Italian-speaking class going, I want to learn Italian. So I think there is an element of laziness on Bale's part where he should have learned the language.
He's been there, what, 6 years now?
Yeah.
Five, six, 7 years. Yes, I totally agree, Matt. You know, there should have been, and I can understand if that's kind of the case where he won't integrate in sort of with the Spanish culture and get to learn the language, and it's part and parcel of football now. You know, you go into a foreign country as, out of respect, you learn the language, you learn the culture, whether you agree to it or whether it is you, or whether you get used to it in the future, time will tell, but at least give it a go. He clearly hasn't given it a go. There's been no sort of improvement in his Spanish. He's openly said that he, you know, the Spanish, they go out for dinner at 10 o'clock. I think it's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. They call it their Spanish version of the Tuesday Club. Mm-hmm. As over here is a little bit different, but run by Paul Merson and Ray Parler. Yeah. But no, over there, their Tuesday Club, I think, is they go out for something to eat at 10, half past 10 at night. They have the Wednesday off, but they go out that late and eat dinner and stay out till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, eating dinner, not drinking or anything, but just eating it. Bale and I think one or two others have distanced themselves from that, and he's permanently said, I don't eat that late, I'm not used to doing it, I'm not going to do it. Straight away, when you've got a dressing room with Sergio Ramos in it, that kind of puts a little bit of divide, and straight away the sort of hackles go up, the barriers go up, and it's kind of, Bale's, by doing that, has separated himself from the rest of the group. To get that trust back, you have to integrate, and he clearly hasn't. So from his point of view, if I start reading comments like that and start seeing things like that, he'd be a strong man to stay there and take it all, because the Madrid fans aren't the most forgiving.
But is that not his divine right now? And has Zidane, I mean, if I was Gareth Bale, and I was asked this before I came on the show, if I was Gareth Bale now, I'd be inclined, depending on how much I still wanted to play football, but like you said, he's kind of won it all. I would be inclined to turn around and say, well, okay, now you said that, I'm going to dig my heels in. Pay me my 250, 300 grand, whatever it is, a week. I'm just going to dig my heels in.
But if the manager don't like you, they'll do anything to get him out of there. I genuinely believe they would make his life hell and his family's life hell. You've seen him leaving the training ground and the fans kicking his car. Mm-hmm. He's got a young family, and I believe when he was at Spurs, his girlfriend, before she got pregnant, still stayed in Wales, and he would go home at weekends and go back to Wales. He's, from what you sort of read and follow and that growing up, he's a fantastic family man. Would he want that, to put his family through that with a young child as well, and sort of say, do I really need this? I know I'm getting paid all this amount of money, and I know I've got to prove people wrong, but have I? Because I've done it. I've won you cups. Does my family need this? Or shall we just cut our losses, go back to... I would like to think he'd come back to Spurs, I honestly would, but would you like to go back to London, go back to family, go back to where we used to, go back to our home, settle down again, be happy, play with a smile on my face, get up with a smile on my face, go and train with people that love me, people that I can speak their language, and I can integrate with and really have a laugh with and play with a smile on my face with fans that actually appreciate what I'm bringing to the table. If I was him, I know everyone keeps saying wages are an issue, but really, is it? Is it really? You know, if he really wants to play football, like you said, and wants to play with a smile on his face, he's won it all. Why not come back now and try and help Spurs win trophies?
Yeah, absolutely. And he did say, didn't he, after those goals in that Champions League final against Liverpool the season before last, he did say, I want to play football now. So it depends what's going to happen next season with Zidane. Zidane left, he probably thought, here we go.
Yep.
But then obviously Zidane's returned. So look, where do you personally think he's going to go? Because this swap deal with Neymar's been mooted. So I think realistically we're looking at PSG, Bayern Munich, Man United, possibly Spurs. Is there even a chance, an outside chance, that the likes of Man City, if they were to lose Leroy Sané, might look at Gareth Bale and think, do you know what? We could probably do with him, and he'd probably be happy maybe to sit on the bench at City.
It's really interesting when you read them quotes that he's obviously going to go.
Mm.
United, I can't say. I think if we're going to go through them and we're trying to do like a little process of elimination, United, in my opinion, is carte blanche certain. No, I genuinely can't see them stumping up any kind of money for him whatsoever. I just don't see him going there. Tottenham, I would love to see him back. For the sentimental thing, he's obviously, and I think he's world class, and I think he would be the link for Spurs that we need, the absolute world class winner that we've been craving for, and he's got unfinished business there.
It does negate Levy's policy, though, doesn't it?
It does, and I think the only problem with Spurs is obviously Bale would have to take a wage drop, but he'd still be top or joint top. It'd probably have to go above Kane's wages if he's going to take a wage. Then, like you said, that's just a snowball effect. Kane will say, well, I want the same as Bale. Eriksen, I want the same as Bale. Lloris. And it will just spiral out of control. So there must be ways around that for Bale to come back to Spurs. The Neymar thing is obviously possibly up there with the top of the ideas at the minute. You know, obviously, he's putting his dummies out of his pram again and wants to leave PSG. He's had enough there. I don't see Barcelona having him back now. They've just signed Griezmann. So for him, realistically, Real Madrid is the only option. They've just signed Hazard as well. Where are all these players going to fit in at Real Madrid? I know, I believe they played today and they lost 3-1 to Bayern in a pre-season game, and they all played. And is Neymar going to be that another pain in the bum that Real Madrid seem to be trying to get rid of? Mm-hmm. They're just bringing in someone who's the prime.
You can't see Neymar play with Eden Hazard either. You can't see that happening.
And Neymar will only go somewhere if he's the top dog. And I genuinely can't see that at Real Madrid. But for Bale to go to PSG, that would have to happen. The only other option you look at that could probably fund Bale is China. But
crikey.
I know, but...
We're talking about a 30-year-old man.
There was a link of Bajon Gujon or whatever. I'm sure that's a chicken or something, isn't
Guangzhou
it?
Guangzhou Evergrande, is that what you're thinking of there?
No, but Beijing Gujon, I think. But yeah. I'm sure that's like a chicken fillet or something. But there was a thing of him paying him 500 grand a week, which only China could probably do. But why on earth would you want to go and play
that
China?
Goes against everything that you were saying in terms of coming back to a nice environment. So it's a really difficult one for Gareth Bale now because, one, he's got his injury. Two, is the desire still there? He's won it all at club level. Is that desire still there? The only thing I would say is that he didn't actually win anything in English football. I think in 2008 when Spurs won the Carling Cup, or the League Cup, sorry, as it was, I can't remember if he was in that squad, but that was obviously the last trophy that they won. So he hasn't actually won anything in England. The only fear I have is that it will very much be a case of coming back to where you left, like never go back. Mm. And you sense that with Gareth Bale, that almost he feels like he's a bit better than the Premier League now.
I think if he came back to the Premier League, he would probably come back as one of, if not the, probably the best player in the Premier League. Now, would that, the only... Bale only knows the answer to the question of would that appeal to him? Would he be happy if someone said to you, right, you're going back to the Premier League. I'm coming back to the Premier League as a multiple winner. I've not won anything on the international stage, obviously, but I am, you know, I'm coming back to the Premier League a far better player than when I left it, a more mature man, a winner. I am now, it's not all about me, but wherever I go, I'm going to be that world-class player in that team. And for him to come back and win something in the Premier League, I think would be massive when it comes towards the end of his career, that he could say that he's played in two of probably the toughest leagues in the world, or not necessarily, yeah, maybe the toughest, but the most watched, the biggest two leagues in the world, let's be honest. And I've won everything, and I've won stuff in both leagues. For me to say that at the end of my career, for me personally, I'd determine, well, I've had a successful career. I've had a successful domestic career. Played in the Premier League, won stuff. Played in La Liga, won stuff. Won Champions League. What more can I do?
Absolutely. It would be lovely to say that, wouldn't it? That is the comprehensive view of Graham Butler on Gareth Bale and where he will end up next season. Right, we're going to be talking Romelu Lukaku and Man United.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Yep, this is Love Sport, and you are listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill Show with me, Matt Beadle, and the dulcet tones of Graham Butler, thoroughly enjoying this, mate. First time we've worked together. Yes. I feel like it's going really well.
Yes, it is. It's nice, nice and smooth.
We've moved on now to Romelu Lukaku. Now, Man United have rejected a £54 million bid from Inter Milan from Romelu Lukaku. Antonio Conte has made no secret. Quite interestingly, he's done this in the sense of like a Jose Mourinho approach, which is quite funny because they couldn't stand each other. But Jose Mourinho always had that habit of saying, I'm not going to talk about another player because he's with that club. However, yada, 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 yada. And he'd go on and proceed to talk about it. And that's exactly what Antonio Conte's doing here. He's saying, we must respect him. He's a Man United player. But I've made no secret of the fact that I want him. I wanted him when I was at Chelsea. He would be a great addition to the squad. He said that Mauro Icardi is not in Inter's plans anymore. So he's going to move on. Where he's going to go, very interesting, because we've got one hell of a player there who's repeatedly scored goals season after season. Can't get in the Argentina squad, but scores goals season after season. Lukaku, United clearly want to recoup the £75-plus million that they paid for him. They're holding out. What do you think's going to happen here?
I think he'll go.
Do you?
I do. I don't see... When you read quotes from Solskjaer and you read sort of stuff into his press conferences, you kind of get that he has an idea of how they want to play. Whether it materialises, time will tell. But there seems to be a way in which he wants the club to go forward, i.e. youthful, British, sort of bringing back the sort of Fergie times where your core of young British players mm-hmm. comes to the fore, and he wants energy, he wants sort of this philosophy of counter-attacking football, and sort of how Man United was when they had like the likes of Cole and York and Solskjaer and Giggs and Beckham on the wings and stuff. And you saw that with Wan-Bissaka and Daniel James in the last sort of couple of pre-season friendlies, and they sort of want to play with this intensity. Whether the quality's there is another thing. With Lukaku, that will completely disintegrate everything that he wants to do. He's not that type of player. He's kind of like this... Well, he is Lukaku, isn't he? He's sort of like
essentially, he's like the modern-day target man, yeah. Isn't he? He's not your guy you just lump balls up to the box to, but he is your modern-day target man. People talk about his first touch yeah. all the time, and of course, if you're going to cost £75 million, your first touch should be better. The thing with Lukaku for me is that he gets a lot of criticism, but with Lukaku, you know that if you play him, he is going to score goals, mm. and this is a difficult thing because some clubs would kill for a 20-plus goal striker a season, and he will get that for you. But I get what you're saying, and there is a hankering, I think, amongst United fans who are desperate to reproduce that York and Cole partnership with Martial and Rashford. And it looks like Martial will play up top if you look at the pre-season friendlies so far this season. And you're right, Lukaku will disrupt that. It's just whether Inter are prepared to pay the money. It could be one that I can see this going on to transfer deadline day. And whether United bring someone in, I don't know. Because if you look at their front line, we've mentioned Martial, Rashford, Alexis Sanchez is going to come back from injury at some point. Whether he'll get a look, and we don't know. But the standout performer, Mason Greenwood. Has obviously scored twice in pre-season, looking very, very sharp. So is there any room for Romelu Lukaku?
It's not looking good for him when you look at, like, I was just going to touch on Greenwood there, how he started pre-season as well. You know, the way he started, obviously Rashford has started, I think, two or three games. Martial is getting a look in. He said his attitude is much better. Alexis Sanchez to come back. Lukaku is gradually going down that pecking order. And if they keep on performing, he's going to stay at the bottom of that pecking order because they're going to turn and say, well, we don't need you. We've got Greenwood coming through. He's started pre-season. He'll be our backup striker to Rashford and Martial. And we'll have that youthfulness there. If we can now get 50, 60 million for Lukaku, I'm happy for him to go because of Greenwood's sort of rapid progress. And I think the Italian league will be the best league for him. Even I can't see him staying in the Premiership and someone outside of the top four or five paying what they want for him. I can't see it, even though someone like an Everton that he'd go back to, the Everton team now, or like a Wolves, you know, he would fit in quite well with their sort of sides. And they don't create as many chances as Man United. Therefore, I think his mistakes won't get highlighted as much because he's not missing as many as he does for Man United before. He actually, his sort of goal to chance conversion rate won't be as great because they're not creating as many chances as Man United will do. So I can see him ending up in Italy and, you know, Inter Milan. But like you said, they've got to get rid of Icardi first. And if there was a swap deal involved there, I would go for it because Icardi's mustard.
He is mustard, but apparently they... Well, we know that he apparently causes disruptions.
Yeah, his attitude problem is a bit of a problem. And I think the whole...
Is that what United want at the moment? Probably not.
It's not. And is his wife still his agent?
Yeah, there is an interesting relationship there. Obviously, his wife from a previous
teammate.
So, Maxi Lopez, sorry. Maxi Gomez is the new Valencia striker, of course. Now, I would imagine... We know that the conversation has been had between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Lukaku. It's quite clear that, essentially, if Lukaku did stay, he would be a trump card for United. He's obviously not prepared to be that. So if he does move on, do they need to replace him? We've talked about Martial, Rashford, Sanchez and Greenwood. There are rumours this week circulating about Nicolas Pepe, sought after Nicolas Pepe. Now, Liverpool seem to be the front runners for Pepe, who scored 22 goals last season for Lille in Ligue 1, 11 assists as well. So this is someone who's having a huge impact. Only 24 years old, I believe, the Ivorian. PSG and Bayern Munich also interested. We get to this stage now where everybody's interested. I think Everton have thrown... And this always blows my mind that you can have United, Liverpool, PSG, Bayern, Roma, and suddenly Everton are in there. And then say West Ham throw their name to it. And this comes into the whole big club debate. But realistically, they're not going to be able to afford the money for this type of player. And would he want to go to those clubs? We don't know. But they're saying 70 million from Lille. Is an attacking midfielder slash winger slash forward the kind of player that United need, considering they've already splashed out, well, not splashed out, 60 million on Daniel James?
That's a really, really good question. I've always said you can never have enough midfielders stroke forward players. They're the guys that win you games. I think the rugby, Eddie Jones calls them finishers. Mm-hmm. They're not replacements, they're finishers. You bring them players on primarily in games because you need them. At some point in the game, you will need them whether to see out the game, to go and win you the game, or to get you back into the game. They're our finishers. Man City have proved that you cannot have enough midfielders, stroke attacking midfielders, stroke winger, stroke forwards in your team. You go through their list and you look, every single one of them is quality. You get to down like to the 9th, 10th person, that's Phil Foden. And you think, blimey, how many teams in England would have Phil Foden in their matchday squad, let alone at the bottom of a 10-name thing? So on that basis, I would say, yes, I think he would improve Man United. Can I see them stumping up the money to pay for him? Maybe, if they got rid of Lukaku pretty sharpish, they could possibly go in there with a bid for him. I could still see them signing him, even though they've bought Daniel James. I still think he would improve their squad as a whole. Daniel James isn't the finished article, although there is something clearly there with him.
We're seeing a lot in pre-season, aren't we?
And yes.
I think there is an element of fans getting... I mean, and the problem with social media now is that we see these clips all the time. And he's rapid.
Yes.
We know he's rapid. You can see there's a problem with his finishing. He hasn't quite got... But he's young. I don't think he's going to play a bigger part as people expect him to play next season. They're going to blood him into that squad. So there is potentially a gap there. But Juan Mata obviously signed a new deal. Jesse Lingard is in there. But then it's interesting when you look at the reaction from fans on Jesse Lingard so far, and especially his performance yesterday against Inter. Two names, Jesse Lingard and Nemanja Matic. Mm-hmm. Fans are just kind of done with.
Yeah. I don't think Lingard helps himself with his social media antics. I think he needs to calm that down a lot. You know, we all enjoy a little bit of social media and a bit of banter and, you know, the odd video and stuff like that. But he needs to really knuckle down now. He's 27 years old, you know. And with the likes of Daniel James, Scott McTominay coming through, Greenwood as an attacking player, Lingard is an attacking player. So I'd class Greenwood, Martial getting his head down.
Tahith Chong as well, the young winger.
Yes. You know, Lingard could quite easily find himself frozen out, not by his own accord, but by others just pushing on ahead of him. And he could find himself in a really sticky situation at sort of 27, 28, finding himself not even in match day squad. So he needs to liven up a little bit. But yes, I think Pepe would improve Man United greatly. It would be interesting to see, but I see him going to Bayern.
Do you really?
Yes.
You see, that's because of the fact that both Robin and Madrid moved on.
I follow Bayern a little bit, not as much as, you know, most, but, you know, Bayern journalists and stuff like that. But they're kind of like the foreign team that I always look out for. I've been over there, watched games with them, and And I really enjoy their whole setup from sort of academy level and the way their whole structure. I love everything about it, and you know, and I do follow Bayern a little bit with this whole Robin and Ribery thing. You know, two absolute legends of the game and absolute legends over there as well. And they both retired at the same time, or both left and retired at the same time. There's massive holes to fill there, and it is the main four of how they play their game. They love their exciting wingers. Kingsley Coman was one they've been blooding for sort of 18 months now. I think he's ready to step up.
I mean, he was in French squads a few seasons ago, wasn't he?
He's got an amazing stat or something, isn't he? Is he not won a league title at every club he's been at, and he's only 24? I think it was Juventus. Was it Paris Saint-Germain? Paris Saint-Germain, Juventus and Bayern. Well, and somewhere else as well.
He was also in that strange deal where he was on loan at Bayern, scoring against Juve in the Champions League, wasn't he? A very, very strange situation there. But I think Bayern, like you say, are probably in... I know that they've lost two greats in Robben and Ribery, but it actually puts them in a good position because they know what they need. They know the exact type of player that they need. They're going to go out for Leroy Sané all out. I can see that one rumbling on and on and on.
Hudson-Odoi was another one I think they saw the impact of what Sancho had at Dortmund, especially last year. And they've seen that more and more English players now are looking at the Bundesliga as a way of progressing. They don't see it as... I think young English boys now are not seeing it as a hindrance going abroad. You're not going to forgotten about. You're not going to get sort of disregarded. Oh, you're playing in Bundesliga. Oh, you're not in the Premier League. Okay, you're not at the... You know, people are going out now to Dortmund, to Leverkusen, to Hoffenheim, to Mönchengladbach, and actually doing really, really well. You look at Reece Nelson.
Adamola
Lookman's gone to Leipzig.
Yeah.
And I thought he was brilliant when he went over there 2 years ago. And he came back to Everton and just completely sort of stagnated completely. But... Hudson-Odoi's injury, I think, has put him back a little bit at Bayern, so I think they'll go all out for Sané, if not Nicolas Pepe.
Brilliant. That is Bayern Munich. Nicolas Pepe, who will he be at next season? Will he stay with Lille? Will he go to Liverpool, United, PSG, Bayern? The list goes on. After this, we are going to be discussing Mr. Harry Maguire.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Yep, this is Love Sport and the Transfer Rumour Mill show with myself, Matt Beadle, joined by Graham Butler. Remember, we've got half an hour left now, so if you want to get in touch, it's very easy to do so. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or send us a tweet at Love Sport Radio. Right, Slabhead. Old Slabhead himself, Harry Maguire. This one, again, is going to rumble on. You can see, again, this shambles of the deadline day deal that tends to happen when clubs finally get something over the line just before the midnight deadline or whatever the deadline is. We never seem to know. You see all the reporters in Sky Sports outside grounds where nobody is there trying to drum up some sort of excitement. But Harry Maguire, currently at Leicester City, it appears that he's made it clear he wants to leave. Leicester are holding out for around £75-80 million, which is a staggering amount of money when you think about it. But when you look at what Virgil van Dijk cost Liverpool last summer, is that just the market now for a top centre-back? And not only a top centre-back, an English top centre-back. It seems like Man City are kind of retracting a bit because they don't want to pay that cash. We saw this last January with Alexis Sanchez and United and City in their little bidding war. City eventually went, all right, well, you can pay that money. Do you think that's going to be the case here? Do you think Harry Maguire is going to end up at Man United?
It's just a never-ending circle with him. I don't think anyone really knows, apart from Maguire, where he wants to go. I think we had this... it's true, mate. You know, we had this conversation with Jake last week. We spoke a little bit about Maguire, and he was getting his little inside infos from Leicester, bless him. And it was kind of Maguire has told people that he wants to leave, and you know, he wants to push on in his career and start winning stuff and clearly earning a little bit more money, but he wants to go and progress now. But I can see him ending up at Man United. I just don't know what's taking so long. And I know that sounds such cliched, and it's kind of... I know there's a lot that goes on to transfers, and there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. But surely, if Man United wanted this centre-half and they wanted to build their defence around him, bearing in mind that you think the last 12, 18 months, they've chopped and changed a lot with their defence, you know, And title-winning sides have this structure. They have a settled defence, settled back line. They all play off each other. They work off each other. They know what they're doing. Surely he would have wanted to get Maguire in early, pay the money, pay what is required, get the deal done, get him into our team and get him playing with another next door to him, Luke Shaw at left back and somebody at right back. Wan-Bissaka at right back, Luke Shaw at left back and somebody alongside him at centre half. If that was what they wanted to do, I would have got it done now and said, right, this money is for Harry Maguire. This is what they're asking. This is what we're paying. Get the deal done now. I genuinely don't know going into pre-season now why that hasn't been done, what he's still doing at Leicester. Can I see him at Man City? I never thought I'd say that. But losing company, Otamendi possibly on the way out. Laporte is a fantastic centre-half. He really is top-notch, and it proved when they paid all that money for him that everyone was a little bit, okay, not really heard too much about him. You know, he's Bilbao, okay, this is interesting. He come in and he was like a duck to water. He was incredible. Absolutely fantastic, and he's such a good young player. And the icing on the cake for them would be another settled centre-half, and Maguire fits that. He clearly doesn't trust John Stones.
Which is remarkable, really, when you consider the cash that he paid for him. And it's a big season for John Stones.
Massive.
Because if he doesn't nail down a starting position at Man City, I cannot understand how Gareth Southgate can continue to select him for England, because there will be centre-backs. Joe Gomez will be playing regularly for Liverpool. Harry Maguire will be playing regularly for whoever it is that he's at. If he goes to 4-4-2, I can't see John Stones playing at all. If he goes to three at the back, that's probably going to be taken up by Kyle Walker as well. So it's a massive season for John Stones.
It is, and I think it'll be interesting looking a little bit further ahead as to, I'm not too sure how he started pre-season or whether he actually starts the season as a centre-back, and how he sort of plays in the first couple of months. And when you look at it sort of when we get to December, January, because don't forget we've got the Euros coming up next year, that will he be looking to a move in January? You know, it's like you said, it's not so much a big season. It's kind of like a big 6 months for him, a big first 5-6 months of the season to say, well, I really need to nail down a place now. And if I don't, my Euro 2020 squad place or starting place is in jeopardy. Do I long it out at Man City in the hope that I get my place back? Or do I look for a move somewhere in the hope that I'm getting game time for the remainder of the season to keep in Southgate's plans? But I think you're absolutely right. If Maguire did end up at Man City and ended up dislodging Stones, where does that leave Stones?
And Leonardo Bonucci, if they don't get Maguire, Leonardo Bonucci is another name that's being bandied around. Samuel Umtiti as well from Barcelona. These are two, you'd say, world-class centre-backs. And Titi slightly lost his way, I guess, in the past season. But Bonucci is an interesting one because, obviously, he left Juve for Milan for that big mega-bucks move. Returned to Juve, bit with his tail between his legs, or perhaps not. Perhaps he just doesn't care about that. But potentially moving on again, I personally think Bonucci in the Premier League at Man City would be an incredible signing.
They might as well just give him the trophy.
Exactly.
Now. There is no goal. They don't concede any goals anyway. And then when you add an Italian to your defence, you've got absolutely no chance. You stick them two together, Bonucci and Laporte, you've probably got one of the best centre-half pairings in Europe. He was born out of Chiellini. He's like a clone to Chiellini, which isn't such a bad thing. But yeah, he is a fantastic world-class centre-half. Titi... 100%. He has lost his way slightly. I think it was after he scored that absolute worldie for Lyon against Spurs at White Hart Lane that ended up in the top corner, and had the net not been there, I think it might still be going. But ever since then, he hasn't really pushed on at Barca and stuff. But I can't see that one materialising for Man City purely because he's left-footed. He is exactly the similar sort of side as Laporte. Can play left-back, left-sided centre-half. I think it's a big season for Mendy at left back. Zinchenko finished the season fantastically well. Mm. Great little player. I can't see him fitting in there. At least I can't see him starting, and I can't see him going there to be a squad player.
Okay, well, that is Harry Maguire, Leonardo Bonucci and Samuel Umtiti. Where will they end up next season? The Harry Maguire one does seem strange. Why that hasn't happened yet, like you say, Graham, I do not know. And like you, I'm a huge advocate for having players in your pre-season preparations. You just don't... I mean, the good thing now is that the transfer window finishes before the Premier League starts, so you don't get this ridiculous situation of the fact that they've played a couple of games already. But I would also argue with United, it's not just about Harry Maguire coming in, it's about who partners him there. And you said, another, who's it going to be? Is Victor Lindelof good enough? I don't personally think that he is. Eric Bailly isn't quite the player that perhaps Jose Mourinho thought he was going to be. And then you've got your two custodians, Chris Smalling and Phil Jones, who it appears will be at United forever. And hey, an English centre-back partnership, that is not so bad. Before we go to the next segment, I just want to touch on Ryan Sessegnon, because you mentioned left-backs there, big season for Benjamin Mendy. Ryan Sessegnon is mooted to be going to Spurs. This one, again, is rumbling on. Now Inter involved. Now Borussia Dortmund are reportedly interested. There's suggestions it could be a double hit, that Spurs go to Fulham and say, right, we want Ryan and we want his brother Stephen as well. We don't really know anything about Stephen. He's a youth player. He seems to be a decent player by all accounts. But Ryan Sessegnon, not a great season last season. He didn't kick on like people thought he would do. If he comes to Spurs, where do you think he's going to play?
I think he will go down the route of Gareth Bale.
Mm-hmm.
He will start at left back. As much as I love Rose, and as much as I think he actually played really, really well for the majority of last season, and there probably isn't many better left wing backs, should we say, in the Premier League. I think he's burnt his bridges at Spurs now. He's opened his mouth once too much, and I think there's something clearly behind the scenes that they've just had enough of him. And he's obviously getting on a little bit now. You know, anyone over 30, you kind of get pushed to the wayside at Spurs. But
I think the quote for me that did it for Danny Rose, I mean, look, this is a guy who's quite clearly got some issues, and he's spoken quite openly about mental health and his issues with the governing bodies in football. But the one that got me was when he just said, well, I mean, one, there were two things really, when he said, I can't wait to finish playing football. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that resonates with a lot of fans. Wouldn't really appreciate that kind of comment. And then he also said, if I'm at Spurs next season, great. If I'm at another club, great.
Yeah.
So that says a lot, I think, doesn't it?
You could almost tell through the mic or through the radio someone's body language. When he comes out with something like that, he's clearly not fussed. He really doesn't care. He plays like he does, and I don't know how you can switch between those two emotions, because off the field he comes across as someone who really doesn't give a monkeys about anything, anyone, or I'm just in it, I'm earning a lot of money, and you know, it's a sort of career that I'm being given, and I'm just going to go along with it for as long as I can, you know. So on that basis, I think his time at Spurs probably has come to an end, and it might do Spurs a favour just to offload him if that is the case. And I can see Sessegnon coming in, being a breath of fresh air. And I think, yes, you're right, he didn't have the greatest of seasons last year, but with all due respect to him, he's 18.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably 19 now, but he was sort of, you're looking at the bulk of the year, he was 17, 18 years old, playing in a really struggling Fulham side and having sort of a lot of weight on his shoulders and a lot of dependency on him to produce game-changing moments. And they kind of relied on him a lot. And I think for an 18-year-old, that kind of took a toll on him a little bit. And if he didn't have the season that everyone predicted, how would that affect him? You know, that's an awful lot for him to take on board. I think by coming to Spurs, I honestly, this is going to sound really weird, but I think the pressure will be off him a little bit. He'll have an arm around his shoulder. He'll say, right, okay, you're not expected to pull up trees to begin with. You'll learn the position. You'll grow up. You'll have people like your Dele Allies, your Harry Winks around you, but also you'll have people like Lloris, mm-hmm. Vertonghen, who will be next door to you, sort of as a left-sided centre-half. Learn off of these people. Take on board what the Allies and the Ericsson, the Allies and the Winks and the Harry Kanes are sort of telling you, and they're guiding you along, and just enjoy your football. Learn the position. You're going to make mistakes. Don't worry about it. You're here for the long run, you know. And eventually, I can see him really, really... I'd like to see him at Spurs, and I can see him starting as a left-back, enjoying his time there, having a bit of a licence to go forward, and then eventually going down the route with Gareth Bale and then becoming an attacking left-sided player, someone who can probably play off of both wings and add goals to his game gradually, and sort of by the time he's 22, 23... become that player that Bale became.
I think you're bang on. I think you're absolutely bang on there. I think that's the best way that Spurs could manage him. And you're right, just play him. Just play him, because there seemed to be this fear from Claudio Ranieri last season that he was too young and he wasn't right to start playing games. And you look at it, what, 18, 19, he bagged a couple of goals and he grabbed a few assists. An 18-year-old in the Premier League, it's actually not that bad. No. It's just because we've got expectations now and we set our standards so high for our young English players that have a bit of hype around them. Suddenly they've got to be the next best thing like that in a matter of moments, in a matter of games even. So yeah, I think play him left back, give him games. It's a shame for him to leave Fulham, but he would be a huge addition to the Spurs squad. That is Ryan Sessegnon to Spurs. Will it happen? Let's hope so. After this, we're going to be talking Palace and wrapping up some of the done deals.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Yep, this is Love Sport and you're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Matt Beadle and Graham Butler. Into the last 15 minutes now. Remember, if you want to get in touch for that last 15 minutes, 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well or drop us a tweet at Love Sport Radio. Now, Crystal Palace. A very interesting state of affairs at Selhurst Park, because obviously they've lost Aaron Wan-Bissaka to Manchester United, 50 million that deal. So far, the only real names that have been mooted are Cole Jenkinson and Nathaniel Clyne to replace Aaron Wan-Bissaka. If you're a Crystal Palace fan, what are you thinking?
We're in a bit of trouble. I know I'll go back to Spurs. I really don't mean to, honestly, but when you looked at Wan-Bissaka leaving, the ideal replacement for the way they play would be Kyle Walker-Peters. Now, if I was Palace and I'd say, look, but this was before Trippier went, but luckily Trippier's gone now. So you would look at Walker-Peters as someone, you want to start your career, basically. Mm-hmm. It's been on and off. You've played 5-6 games for Spurs over the last couple of years, and you've done okay in them, but that's nowhere near, not even close to being enough to what you should be at your age. Would you want to stay in the Premier League and be first choice right back and play and go in the way that Wan-Bissaka has gone? Again, like we were talking about Sessegnon, you're going to make mistakes, but you're not going to get dropped or rotated. It's now your chance to nail down that position. So anyone going in there now would go, oh, blimey, I've got a chance. Staying in the Premier League, playing, and playing on a half-decent side. If I was Walker-Peters, I'd jump at that chance. I'd have probably pushed through that move before even anyone would have come near me, you know?
So but, as a permanent deal or a loan deal?
No, I would have gone there permanently.
Really?
And sort of said, look, I'm never... And I saw Walker-Peters play today and there was a lot of naivety in his game. He doesn't look like... If he starts the season and he's first choice right back, I think we're in trouble. Especially down that right-hand side. He's a good player, but he's not Tottenham class. And I think now has come to the time where they've got to go, we could probably get a little bit of money for him. Give him the chance to go and start his career and really develop his career somewhere else other than Tottenham. And Palace would have been the ideal place for him, I believe, as a permanent deal to go, do you know what? I've thoroughly enjoyed my time at Tottenham. I've learned an awful lot. I need game times now. I can't see him getting it this year either. I genuinely can't see him playing 20, 30, 40 games this season. That's not going to happen. For him to do that and to really sort of get games and minutes under his belt now, Palace would have been the ideal spot. But like you said, Matt, you know, Cole Jenkinson and Nathaniel Clyne, it's not exactly inspiring.
Nathaniel Clyne was obviously at Palace. So part of it could work out for him. Obviously, he hasn't had much game time, spent a bit of time on loan at Bournemouth. Cole Jenkinson is Cole Jenkinson. I'm sure Arsenal fans and West Ham fans will probably tell you a little bit more about Cole Jenkinson. But an interesting state of affairs, like I said, at Palace. And Wilfried Zaha is the main thing here. And I think Arsenal have made a huge ricket with Wilfried Zaha and the fact that they started at 40 million because United went in and got Aaron Wan-Bissaka for 50 million. If Arsenal had got Zaha first, you could suggest that Palace would have been more eager to take the money, but now they don't really need to. So they are going to push and push and push for Zaha. But if he does go, who do you think that they could bring in to replace him? And one of the names, obviously not as a direct replacement for Zaha, but one of the names that's been banded around recently is James McCarthy, the Everton midfielder. And we then see that link-up of McCarthy and MacArthur back at Palace. Of course, the midfield duo that went down with Wigan. Again, not that inspiring for Palace.
It's not. Off the top of my head, I'm not really too sure that there probably are names that people could throw about and stuff, but I don't see anything or anyone that really stands out? It's a hard one because I can't sit here and go, I genuinely can't sit here and say, if Zaha left, that's a direct replacement. Go and get him or go and get him. You'd kind of have to sit here, and we're not in a position to do that on radio. I can't sit here and sort of have a 5-minute silence. And you'd have to sit there and scratch your head and go, right, okay, let's go through the clubs in the Premier League and who exactly could do a job. I don't know anyone abroad that they're looking at. Sort of knowledge of the foreign leagues and sort of League Two and, I mean, Spanish second division isn't great. But now, like, I think we just go back to what you said, and the fact that they've sold Wan-Bissaka, they're not really in a position where they need to sell Zaha. It's just a case now of if they can persuade Zaha to stay, then I think Palace have got the potential to have a half-decent season. If they lose him as well and he really kicks up a stink and wants to leave and wants to get out and says, like, look, just get money for me. I want to leave and go back and play into the Champions League and challenge for things, and they lose him as well, you lose, for Palace, you lose Wan-Bissaka and Zaha in the same window and not replace them with equal quality, you're going to struggle.
Okay, well, moving on to some of those done deals that actually have happened. A hive of activity yet again in the Premier League and beyond this past week. Some big stuff going on. Kieran Trippier moving to Atletico Madrid. I don't think anybody saw that at the beginning of the summer. We've also seen Lise Musset move to Sheffield United today. They've broken their record, their transfer record, for the third time this summer. And the interesting thing with Lise Musset is that he's moved to Sheffield United for around £10 million. Last summer, Sheffield United sold David Brooks to Bournemouth for just under £10 million. They've effectively done a straight swap. In my opinion, and I'm sure yours too, Graham, that's not a straight swap. In David Brooks, you've got a young, Welsh, exciting midfielder who actually scores goals and makes assists. In Lise Musset, you've got someone who's played 58 Premier League games for Bournemouth and scored 3 goals. I cannot get my head round. This is a player also who made more sub appearances than anybody else last season. I cannot get my head round Sheffield United looking at that and thinking, oh, we've got a player there, we'll spend 10 million. This is the problem sometimes when these clubs come up into the Premier League, they make these signings and you think that is not going to better your team.
I think they make signings. Yeah, you've hit the nail right on the head. And I was just going to use Aston Villa as an example. It's that it seems like they've made signings for signing's sake.
Yes.
It's almost like they're trying to make a statement that, I mean, I've seen it with, I know we're talking about sort of Bournemouth and Sheffield United and Palace and stuff, but you go back to Villa, they've spent 85 million in this transfer window. I've seen people saying they're blind, like they're picking up trees, going, "Oh, Villa have got money. They've spent 85 million. Look at who they've signed." Mm. I'm sitting there going, "No, no, but impossibly, no." And it's like you're not signing quality. You're signing players just because you've got money. It's like a Championship Manager or Football Manager on the computer. You got money there. Oh, I've got dinner in 10 minutes. Oh, let me just go and spend some money quickly and sign someone just for the sake of it. And I think with, like you said, with the Brooks and the Musset deal, that is not a straight swap at all.
And you're right. I think the problem is sometimes when these clubs have money, they do get a bit excited and they think we'll buy a selection of players for 5, 10, 15 million, when really sometimes it's better to make that one marquee signing and then build your team around that marquee signing.
100%.
Because he's going to lift the rest of the squad. Elsewhere, Matthias De Ligt has obviously finally moved to Juve. Bit of a baptism of fire for him today. You were talking earlier about the game with Spurs. Wonderful last-minute goal from Harry Kane, but De Ligt plays against Spurs, loses 3-2 in the final minute. Like you said, where have we heard this before?
Where have we heard that before? I'm sure. You get a feeling of deja vu, didn't you? And it was, I think we just said off air that I think he was trying to do a little bit of game of hide and seek when he saw sort of like Lucas Moura on the pitch and Sonny on the pitch as well. But I really, really rate him. I think that's a fantastic signing. And if we go back to sort of an earlier segment, we were talking about Harry Maguire costing 70, 80 million. And you look at De Ligt went for 62.5. I think if I had the choice 10 times during a day, not that this is ever a saying, I'm just making it up as I'm going along, but if someone gave me a choice every single day of the week, who would you have, De Ligt or Maguire? It'd be De Ligt every day of the week. You know, 19 years old, built like a fridge, is a leader, inspires people, scores goals, can defend, can read the game, was brought through the Ajax youth system, that tells you everything about the guy. The guy was captain at Ajax for 18 years old. Not many people can do that. And for Juve to go and get him for 62.5 million, and again, go and learn off of Chiellini, Bonucci, I'd have him all day long. But yeah, it's great to watch him lose 3-2 in the last minute today.
Sparked wonderful memories of that great Champions League
semi-final. And that was where our Champions
victory.
League final finished.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what you'll take from last season's Champions League. Graham, it's been a pleasure, mate.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. This has been the Transfer Rumour Mill. One last name to mention is Ravel Morrison. Will he succeed at Sheffield United next season? We cannot wait to see so many loan spells, so many spells at different clubs all over the world. Italy, Mexico, Sweden, and now back in his homeland of England. This has been the Transfer Rumour Mill Show on Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.